Okay, yesterday we started Skal Gael Ma'u. We started with Skal Gael Ma'u, and we have to do with Rashi and with Tosfos. We start again with Rashi. Rashi learns what Skal Gael Ma'u means, that the animal took food from Rishus A and carried it to Rishus B. Could be the first Rishus was Rishus Rabbi, and the second Rishus Hayachid, or reverse. The animal took food from one Rishus to another, and the Gemara is Ibaya, is do you go Basar Lakicha? Do you go according to the Rishus from where it was taken? Or do we go Basar Achila, the Rishus in which it was eaten? That's the Gemara's Ibaya. So I told you yesterday I have this Shver. I don't understand. The animal, as I said yesterday, is not chayiv on geneva. So the animal, from taking it from the rishus hayachid into the rishus harabim, that's not a dover hamachayiv. Animals are allowed to do it. There are no aveiros on animals for doing it. An animal is allowed to take things from rishus hayachid to rishus harabim. It didn't damage it. It just picked it up and put it down. So that's nothing. The lekicha is garnished. So then, you certainly should go basa achila. Why should we go basa lekicha? We certainly should go basa the achila. That's the difficulty with the sugya. And there's no question that the two tzadim and the ibaya are, do we look at it as two separate maisim, the way I just said? A lekicha finished and an achila separate? Or do we look at all as one long lekicha achila, is one long ma'isa? And the question would be, why should we look at it as one long ma'isa? What's the tzad to look at it as one long ma'isa? Now, to explain it, let's just go back to the idea of basa me'ikara azlina. We had a new dynamic base. The concept of basar me'ikara azlinan, we had two cases. A person throws something off a roof, and it's going to fall and break on the floor below. So basar me'ikara azlinan is considered broken from when he threw it. The other case, an animal kicks a keli, and it doesn't break from the kick, but it goes flying. And it hits a wall and it shatters against the wall and breaks there. So the question is that called tsoiris? Tsoiris is when you kick something and it's magic somewhere else. Or do you say basa me'ikara azlina? And when the animal kicked it, it's already broken. And it's a regular case of kicking. Kicking is not regal. Walking is regal. Kicking is carrot. Be'ita is carried. So the Gemara had the shiloh, do you go basa me'ikara the time he kicked it, or do you go basa l'besayf when it hit the wall? And we passed him basa me'ikara as well. Now the question is, why isn't that the same as this Gemara? Why don't we say here also basa me'ikara as well? Gemara has the shiloh, do you go according to when it took it or when it ate it? So, I'd like to ask you, tell me a difference between the two Gemaras. What's the difference, the case where you throw something off a roof, you go basa me'ikara, it's broken from when you throw it. When the animal kicks something and it hits a wall and breaks against the wall, you go basa me'ikara, you say the kicking, as soon as it kicked it, it was broken. So it's not tsoiris, it's kicking it, it's breaking it. Why is that different than this shaila, where the animal took food from Rishus A, carried it and ate it in Rishus B? Are they the same? The Shulchan Gibayrim really asks that they're the same. Why aren't they the same? What's the difference? There's one, it seems, one basic difference between the two stories, which is,
because it's been done.
Where?
In our case.
And there's no damage done unless it hits the floor and breaks.
Away in the beginning, though. It was done.
It's done when it hits the wall.
So it's not, it hasn't been decided yet.
Good.
You're both saying the same thing. The way I would phrase it is, l'chor, it's a very pashta chilek. Over there, there's one asiya. There's one doing. It's not starting off a roof. It's one asiya. The person who did something did one thing. The animal kicked the keli and it broke against the wall. There's one asiya. He kicked it. Everything else that happened was gravity, was nature, was what caused things to happen. But there was one asiya on Daf Yitzayim in the days. So there we go, Basameikara. It's only one asiya. We go according to the asiya. Here, there were two asiyas. There were two acts. The animal did a lakicha. It took the food. And then it did an achila. It ate the food. Two ma'asim, a lakicha, and then an achila. So that's our shayla. When the animal did two ma'asim, do you go basa me'ekara, or do you go basa le'besayf? When it did a lakicha, and then later an achila, do you go basa me'ekara, you go basa le'maisa lakicha, or do you go basa le'maisa achila, which was later? So it's not similar to your Zayin Amid Beis. Because you die in Amid Beis, you go basa me'ekara when there's one asiya. And here, there are two asiyas. This is l'chayra, the way to answer. Now, having said that, and that's Mustam had to answer Shulchan Dibarim's Kasha, it turns out l'chayra that Gemara is one ma'isa. You throw something off a roof, it's one ma'isa. You throw off the roof, it falls and hits the ground. It's a ma'isa which takes time. Our Gemara, l'chayra, is two ma'isa. There's a lakicha, that took a minute, and there was an achila, which took another minute. Let me ask you, if an animal picks up food and carries it from one rishus to another, does the animal have bechira if it's going to eat it later? Like, are we unsure if the animal is going to end up eating it? We're talking about normal animal food, things animals normally eat. Is it taka suffik what's going to happen later if it eats it?
Why didn't it eat it first?
What?
Why didn't it eat it where he was?
Why didn't it eat it in the first place?
Why did it move it?
In the first spot. Yeah. Why did it move it? If there's the animal, I'm not going to tell you. But
it's not going to eat it later either.
Do animals really... Animals don't have choice in what they do. In a lab, when they have rat and mice in a maze, every mouse does the same thing. Pretty much. Whatever variations there are, they're all predictable. You have to figure out what to predict. But if an animal takes food from one rishus and carries it out to the other rishus, are you misupik what's going to happen? If you see a cat walking down your driveway with a mouse in its mouth, are you misupik what's going to happen? Is it really two asiyas? Are there really two things that happen, so to speak? It could be that the shaila of the Gemara here, why is it called two ma'isim or one ma'isim, is totally in this. The fact that it's two ma'isim, I understand easily. We all understand. There's lakicha and there's achila. The tzad that it's one ma'isa would argue there's no difference if you throw a glass off the roof, you know it's going to hit the ground, it's going to break. And if you see an animal carrying food, you know it's going to eat it later. You know it's going to eat the food later. It's not a second asiyah. It's really all part of the first asiyah. The tzad that you should go bust a lakicha is that it's all one thing. When an animal takes food, the animal takes the food and it eats it. We know exactly what's going to happen. It's not just because an animal is alive and it does things, shouldn't change anything. If it's a predictable thing, then it's a consequence of the lakicha. When there's a lakicha, there's going to be an achila. Just like if you throw something off a roof, it's going to break. If an animal takes food, it's going to eat it. So really, it's all so to speak, one ma'aser. It's not two asiyas. It's one. I'm explaining that tzara libaya that we had a hard time understanding. The tzara libaya that it's two ma'aser, we understand. The tzara libaya that it's all one asiya perhaps holds that what animals do, it's not a new asiya. If the animal came and took it, then it's gone. The animal came, and how did the animal take it? It picked up with its mouth, and it's carrying it into a different spot. It's going to end up eating it. That's true. Someone could shoot the animal, and it won't end up eating it. But normally, the animal is going to end up eating it. So that's the tzad, to look at it as one long ma'isasiya. Because animals are not people. Animals don't decide what to do. Animals do things predictably. People who work with animals know exactly what an animal will do. If you do this, the animal responds this way. So therefore, there's a tzad to call it all one long asiya, because in nature, this is what's going to happen naturally. This is a natural consequence of the first asiya. Ask him. To call it one asiya would be... No? To a certain degree, human beings are that way too. A lot of times people think they have a choice. It's very predictable what a child's going to do. No. But an animal, certainly, you hear such a tad that when the animal takes it, what are you worried about the animal's brain? The animal's brain is a programmed brain. It's no different than gravity. If you throw something off a roof, gravity, poof, it breaks it when it hits the ground. If the animal takes it in its mouth, it's going to end up eating it. You want to know why the animal decided to carry it away? I assure you there's a reason. There's a reason that can be explained according to the nature of animals. If you study animals, they do it. In this case, they do that. Ask him. The Mahalach. To call it all one ma'isa, you have to say that the second is outgrowth of the first. No. There's a whole school of thought now in psychology that human beings are the same way. If you take four factors into account, you can predict what everyone's going to do. But every human being, it's sheker, because we know a person has bechira in dvarim that have to do with tayv and ram. But there's a school of thought that holds that if you take into account four different factors, you can predict whatever a person's going to do, because people are all exactly the same. Now, if you never met a human being, you can think it's true. People are not the same, but. But regarding animals, it should be that way. What?
It would be Vadayas.
Huh?
You said that when you throw the clay out, the Vadayas is going to break. What question about it?
So when an animal carries food, it's a Vadayas. It's a Vadayas. I mean, just like a hurricane could come and blow away and blow the keli onto a mattress, someone could come with a gun and shoot the animal. But as far as the animal is concerned, the animal has a choice. The animal has a choice. If the animal's not hungry, so then it won't. But once we see it ate it, so that means it was a hungry animal.
It'd be holding its mouth. Squirrel puts away the things for the winter or whatever.
All right, nothing happened. If it ends up eating it, then we understand that when it took it, it was probably going to happen. Then we understand it was a hungry animal.
In the case where it takes it and it wasn't a certainty.
Huh?
In the case where it takes it and it wasn't a certainty, and then I don't ate it. And you'll see it's
when it took it and it was not a certainty, and then it ate, then you go basar achim. Then you should go to the place where it ate it, not the place where it took it from. What? Yeah, except that I'm arguing that all animals are predictable. I mean, if the animal ends up eating it, it means the animal would have eaten it. If the animal's full, it's not going to eat it. But if the animal's not full, an animal that ends up eating it is likely to eat it all along. No? I was in the Shteimim once. We ordered something, it's Hanukkah time. In the shul, we ordered donuts. So we have somebody in the shul who has a bakery. He said, oh, so you need, I don't remember the numbers, let's say 80% this type of donuts, and 20% cherry donuts. I said, how do you know? He says, anytime you have a group of people, these are the percentages. I don't know who eats the cherry, but he said, it's always that way. Any group of people, it's alamo, zazai. So I remember we declared then If it is that way, it could be. The idea of predeterminism could be true. We only have emunah that there's Bashira when it comes to tithe and wrath. When it comes to donuts, it could be that a human being has no Bashira.
It's
that way. It's if I see my son go over and there are four different donuts, I know which one he's going to take. Now, he thinks he has Bashira. He's choosing. But I know him. I know which one he'll take. Does he really have Bashira? Just because he thinks he does.
You'll hear it, take the one you want.
There's somebody who likes option code. That's right. So there's a question, if there's Bechira or if things are predetermined, if it's true that everyone likes Lakshan Kugel. So why do I serve Lakshan Kugel if everyone likes Potato Kugel? So why do I serve any?
So
if you want both. Okay. The truth is that people feel good in making choices. The soda companies will tell you, if they put in a soda machine all Pepsi, they'll sell less than if they had different choices. Even though they'll sell 90% Pepsis, but it is that way. But anyway, an animal, it could be, it's you're talking about that by an animal, everything is predetermined. It's no different than gravity. No, it's a mahalach to explain to Gemara. Why should go bust the lakifa? Otherwise, the Gemara is a pella. I think this is a mahalach to try to explain. Now, having said what I think, let me tell you what Pnei Yeshua says. Pnei Yeshua is obviously bothered by this kasha. Pnei Yeshua says that the Gemara is talking that as the animal was eating the sa'irim, it pulled, it didn't carry it from one rishus to another. The sa'irim was at the edge of the rishus hayachid, and the animal is at the edge of the rishus harabim, and as it eats it, it's pulling it towards itself. So it's one ma'isa. That's psila das pasta at the end of the Gemara. It says, no, psila das pasta is one piece which gets pulled in. Here it's different sa'irim. Some are in Rishas HaYach, some are in Rishas HaRab. As it eats it, it's pulling it to itself a little bit at a time. I don't know Matzias exactly. Maybe the pieces are in a basket that's getting pulled to it. I don't know. But those are the words he says. He says, as it's eating it, it's pulling it to itself. And he brings a raya from Rashi. Because Rashi, in the Rashi, Vayisema, says in the last two lines of Rashi, V'chi ochla hai, ozol hai basre. That when you're eating one, the other one is following it. Ki ochla hai basre. So that's Rashi's lashon. And in Mela, he says, it's a raya that we're talking, it's all one ma'isa. As you're eating, you're pulling it to you. Mamish one ma'isa, not the way we learned till now, l'kicha and l'achi. Now, just to show you how you could pull the wool over someone's eyes, the Pnei Yeshua has a beautiful quote from Rashi, b'chi ochlahai, ochlahai, ozlahai basre. Nachlas David writes about the Pnei Yeshua, that he doesn't know why he says the Peshua had a Deshitik of Shak. So he lied about Rashi, what it says in Rashi, in order to be Oymid is Pshat, because Rashi doesn't say it. If you look in Rashi, at the end of Rashi, by Yisema, it says just the opposite. It says, Ki Ochla Hai, Loi Ozel Hai Basre. It says the Sayyid cases when one, the other didn't follow it. Mamish the opposite. Like you would think Nalaz Dover would at least write that Yeshua had a different girsa in Rashi. He doesn't say, he doesn't give him the benefit of the doubt. He just says that the Yeshua was so excited about his pshat that he misquoted the Rashi. If you look at our Rashi, the end of Rashi by Yisema, it says ki och lahai loy ozel hai basre. That by the aspasta it followed. But by the sa'irim, the different garinim. And when you eat one, the other does not follow. So the Pnei Yeshua's pshat seems to be incorrect. In Svara you can argue, but if you say Pnei Yeshua's right, he's wrong. But Rashi says the opposite. Yachlahai loyachlahai basrei. And for Yeshua quotes Rashi as his proof, because he has, I would say, as a gerser Rashi, Yachlahai ozlahai basrei. So it seems that for Yeshua's case, it doesn't stem with at least the way we have the Rashi. And therefore, I'm left with the previous pshat that we said, which is the way I would learn. It's sad that it's all one verse. Turning to Tysus pshat. So Tysus had a totally different pshat in the Gemara. Rashi's pshat is the Rambam's pshat is mostly Shainim. Tysus has a different pshat. Tysus pshat is that, listen to this, the food is traveling on its own. It's going downhill. The wind blew it. Whatever happened. The food is moving on its own. It's in Rosh Hashayach. As Mizgalgul out to Rosh Hashayach. Before it gets to Rosh Hashayach, the animal stops it, and the animal eats it. So the Ibaya is, do we say the animal ate it in the Rosh Hashayach, so it's chayit? Or do we say, Taka ate it in the Rosh Hashayach, but the food was aimed to be blown into Rosh Hashayach? And since, if the animal would have eaten the Rosh Hashayach, so therefore, when the animal ate it in the Rosh Hashayach, he should be potter. That's the way Tysus learns the Tutzadim. And I told you yesterday, to me, that I don't understand Tysus, but Chalal, what's the tzad that you should say, in the case where it started Rosh Hashayach, it would have blown into Rosh Hashayach, but right now the animal ate it in the Rosh Hashayach, what's the tzad to say that it should be potter? Difficult for me to understand, right? But Lamaisa he ate it, and there was just and there was just
Lamaisa the other guy broke.
But here, the food wasn't aimed to break. The food was aimed to go into Rosh Hashanah. Well, not everything that's eaten in Rosh Hashanah. If it would have been eaten, then it would have been a ptur. No. This is what Ari was saying yesterday, that the pshat here, Ari says, I owe him a soda. He says the pshat is basa meikara, and that's the pshat. You go basa meikara, and that's why when it's a new shesayachid. So let me ask you. You tell me if you agree. We argued about this yesterday. What would you say in the reverse case? Now listen to the case carefully and think to yourself. The food is the Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah. And the animal is walking down the street. And the Rosh Hashanah is at an angle. The food is rolling. It's heading into the Rosh Hashanah. It would have gone into Rosh Hashanah. So the animal stops the food from going into Rosh Hashanah and it eats it in the Rosh Hashanah. Is there any tzad to say that the animals, that there should be a chiyuv tashlumin, there should be a chayiv to pay? That's the case. It's a Rosh Hashanah. If not for the animal, it would have blown into Rosh Hashanah. The animal stopped it in the Rosh Hashanah and ate it in the Rosh Hashanah. Is there any tzad? Could you understand the tzad? The tzad that you're potter, we understand. The animal is Rosh Hashanah, it ate it in Rosh Hashanah, it's potter. If you go basar lebesayif, the says that you hold that it's already as if it was, that's called basar meikar. If you hold the beginning, it's like whatever happened at the end, it's already in the beginning. So then the owner of the animal is chayit. Could you understand that? Could you understand? See, I don't understand it because. Because here, the owner of the animal just had his animal walking down the street. All it did was walk down the street. She's allowed to let it do. And there was food there, and it ate the food. Here, I mamish don't see that you can mechayev the balabos of this behemoth, which was just walk down the street and ate. It would have blown into Rosh Hashanah. It's so loud. It was walking in Rosh Hashanah and ate. That's beer b'stei acher. What? That what? The Rif Svara that I have a Shusla Leilach. like to respond, certainly should be potter. Certainly should be potter. Alright, so let's say in this case you'll be masking. Tosis doesn't go in this case. Tosis goes in the reverse case. It's Bishus HaNizik blowing into Rishus HaRav. So again, the animal goes into my Rishus, eats my food in my Rishus. We go to Bezdin. So what do you say? The animal has a migun. It could have let it roll. The animal could have let it roll into Rishus HaRav and eaten the Rishus HaRav. What do you say? It's a migun that the animal has. And since it would have let it go in Rishus HaRav, would eat in Rishus HaRav, you'd be potter. So now, it ate it in Rishus HaNizik, it should also be potter. Alright? It's hard for me to understand it. Alright? Only I don't have a better pshat. The only pshat you'll say is that you go bus a meikara, which means that it's as if it's in Rishus HaRav already, even though it's in Rishus HaNizik. That nekuda is so satisfying. All right, so these are two pshatim on the sugya of Miskalgo Mahu. I wanted to cover the next gemara. Let's see. The sugya of Kol HaMishana B'Ikra is in Daf Lafdalim and Beis. We'll start it now, and B'Ikra will wait for Chafdalim and Beis and Yitz Hashem. Of course, if we spend time on it now, we won't get to Chafdalim and Beis. Let's see. Achlak Sus. Aha. What the gemara essentially is asking... Rishus HaRav and Potter, what's the din of Achlak Sus, Rishus HaRav? Now it seems the Gemara has no suffix that if the animal ate a ksus that a person was wearing, a person walking down the street, and an animal bit into his clothing, took a bite out of his clothing, that is no shayla, that's karet. That's a regular case of Mishuna, and that's no shayla. Gemara Shaila is kelim that were put down under Rishus HaRav. Ah, Amar Rav Akulu, Rishus HaRavim Yipotu Aksus HaKelim. My time of Kol HaMishan Obach HaMishin HaBapotter. We have this rule that Kol HaMishan, if one person does a Shina, Uba'acher V'Shina Bay, and the second person then was Mazik, the Mishana, Potter. Maybe we'll argue about it differently, but at least for now, I think Uba Achar V'Shina Bay is Lav Davka V'Shina Bay. It means Ba Achar V'Hizik Bay. He's even with a Shina. The point is not Ba Achar V'Shina Bay. Don't tell me later the second one did what was normal. That's not going to change anything. If the first person does a Shina, and the second person does it, the second animal in this case, does something... The Shina Bay, I think, is Lav Davka. Shina Bay means the second one did a Hezek. Potter. Shmuel Amar. Lo Shanu Ela Peres V'Yerakis. Ksus HaKelim Chayehes. So Shmuel does not hold of the rule of Kol HaMishana. V'chein Amar Reish Lakish HaKulu. Reish Lakish is like Rav. V'az the Reish Lakish L'Tameid. Amar Reish Lakish. Shtei Paris B'Shus HaRav. Achas Ravutza. One animal is sitting there in the street. Which apparently is not normal. It's not normal because the owner doesn't let. I don't think animals care where they are. If they're willing to sit, they sit. But it means the owner normally makes sure that the animal doesn't sit in the street. So animal number one is sitting in the street. The other one's normal. It's walking down the street. The animal that's going kicked the one that's laying there. Petura. Why? Because Kol HaMishana Obach HaMishina Ba'apotter Revusa B'Malachas Chayemes. Of course, if the one that's lying there is Mazik, the one that's normal, that's Pshita, that it's Chayemes. So Reish Lakish holds of Kol HaMishana, and Rav holds of Kol HaMishana, and the Batlucht is Shmuel, who does not hold of Kol HaMishana. Now we have a third Shita, and you have to hook up that Rav Yechanan is a thin between Shita. Rav Yechanan Amar Loshanu. Lashana la Paris Yerakis. Avoksus v'kelim chayevis, which sounds like Shmuel, but the Gemara says no. Leim Rav Yechanan less like the Reish Lakish. Does Rav Yechanan not hold the Reish Lakish? Atul b'shtei Paris. Loilam islay. He really does hold of Kol HaMishana. he does hold Kol Mishana Shabbat Hashina Bapater. Not like Shmuel, who seems to reject the whole idea. But Sus Abdi Inchi Demanchi Glimi Umispachi. It's normal. Sometimes a person puts his now Glimi is Labdafka Glimi or Kalim Sus Kalim. A person puts his things down in the streets and takes a rest. Abu Behema level refers, but it's not normal for a Behema to lay in the streets. So you want to say he's the same as Shmuel, maybe? Okay, could be. Well, the mice of the artery sheet is anyway, because the other sugya, it's rather that there's one shita that doesn't hold of Kol HaMishana. There's one shita that always holds of Kol HaMishana. Rabbi Yechanan's in between. And Rabbi Yechanan says, it depends. If it's a big shinui, then I agree. Kol HaMishana u Bach HaMishina ba, I agree with your side. But if it's a small shinui, that sometimes Abdi Inchi Demanchi, that sometimes people do it, it's not totally strange. Then I don't hold the Kol HaMishana Bach HaMishina Ba is part of it. Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel hold the same shita. Okay. If Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel hold the same shita, so you have to know a new name, that's Rabbi. Okay, you have to know that besides this Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis, there's Rava. Rava says, in the case of Shtei Parais, where one para is laying in the street, the other para walks by, and the one walking by kicks the one that's laying there, Rava holds its chayiv. He doesn't hold Kol HaMishana or Bach HaMishina Ba his potter, because Rava time is that Yitakav is just to step on my animal. My animal's laying in the street. You want to walk by it, step on it. You have a right to step on it. But you have no right to kick it. So therefore, Rava holds that Yechai. Rishalki says, no. Kol HaMishana. He's laying in the street. Or Bach HaMishina Ba. Even if the animal did a shina, it kicked it, you're also part. So we have Rava on the one extreme, who doesn't hold of Kol HaMishana. Fear is not to hold of Kol HaMishana. And we have the other extreme, Rish Lakish and Rav, who definitely hold the Kol HaMishana. And in between Rabbi Yechanan, and the Rif says that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel, who hold the in-between Shita. That it has to, if it's a very big Shinoi, if it's a big Shinoi, then we hold the Kol HaMishana. If it's a Abdi and Shita Manchi, it's a small Shinoi, then not. What is the Svara? Kol HaMishana or Barach HaMishina Bapater? So there's the Chazay Nish, the Siman Ches Sipsai Zayin, and Rav Baruch Ber in Siman Tezayin, both say the same Nekuda. They both say the same idea. And it's an important idea because if you want to apply Kol HaMishana to more cases, you have to understand what it means. I want to remind you, we have a side that we're learning a whole Masechta. That is, that Nezikin, your chayiv if you do damage, is not a svara. It's a gzeres hakosif. The Torah said your chayiv. The whole parasha of Nezikin is a chiddush. If the Torah would have said that if your animal does damage, your potter, everybody has to watch out for themselves, that would have been fine. The Torah said no. If your mom is Nazik Yechayev, that's a Chiddush HaTorah. The whole parsha of Nezikin is something in the Torah, the Torah was Machadish, a parsha of Bir B'Stei Acher, of Shein, and all the other parshias. The Torah was only Machadish Nezikin in a case where the Nizik didn't bring it upon himself. In a case where the Nizik is the Goyim, the one who received damage, he has a part in it. He has a yad in it. He, to a certain degree, brought it upon himself. In that case, there's no parsha of Nezikin. The Torah never says that in that case there's a parsha that a mazik is chayiv. It's like Shemesh HaSarab in Mispater, when a person causes, has a yad, has a chelik, in the hezik that comes on him himself, that's not included in the parsha of Nezikin. Your chayiv Nezikin, where the Nezik is guiltless, where you go, and somebody parked his car, and you go and break his window. Your chayiv. your animal goes and it goes into someone's field and it eats. Yechayv. In those cases, the nizik has no yad in it. Any time the nizik has any chelik in it, there's no parsha of nizikin to tell you that yechayv. That's the pshat in the Madiyamar kol hamishane uba achar v'shina ba is pot. Now, with that, Chazon Ish explains a rush. I don't have time to learn it inside. I'd like to learn it inside the first thing Sunday. Let me just tell you what the rush says, and I'd like you to look at the lashon afterwards, because Chazon Ish himself has a ha'ara on the lashon harash. Basically, the rush says the following, and the best way I could tell it to you is I remember the first time I saw the rush. Probably had seen it earlier, but the time I remember it from. There was an incident in one of the high school classes that two boys got into a fight. I'm sure it happens plenty. And one boy broke the other boy's glasses. He hit him in the face and he broke his glasses. So the other one was tebeyan for his glasses. And the other one said, "You started. You hit me first." He said, "That's true, I hit you first, but you have the right to break my glasses." So the Rebbe took them down to her palm in the Beis Medrash. That's how I know the story. So her palm told the person, the facts of the story, everyone agreed. The first person Reuven hit Shimon first, and Shimon hit him back and broke his glasses. That, the Rosh says, is a case of Kol HaMishane Uba'acha V'shina Ba'patu. If someone hits you and you hit him back, then you're potter for the consequences of hitting him back. Now the Rosh says it first about animals. If two animals fight, one animal hit one animal first, and the other animal hit him back, the second animal to hit is potter, because kala mishana baka mishina ba potter. And then he says, hu adin ba adam. It's the same thing by adam, by human being. It's the same din. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down by Shar in Simon Tuf Beis. I think it's in Sifyut Aleph. And by Adam Amazik in Tuf Chaf Aleph. They say Kol HaMishana in such a case. Now, according to the way the Chazon Ish explains it, it's easy to understand. I say, I hit you, you have no right to break my glasses. It's true. If I hit you, you have no right to break my glasses. It's emes. But you're not chayav to pay. Because the parsha mazikin doesn't apply where the nizik brought the hezek upon himself. That's this yisoid of the Rosh. Now, the Rosh is in Perek Gimel, Simin Yud Gimel and the Rosh, the first half of Simin Yud Gimel. It just seems to mix two reasons together. So you have to understand why he's using the two reasons, how the two reasons work. But he definitely says the Lashon, Kol HaMishana Bacha V'Shinaba. So Yitzhashem will finish.